think I finally got it down, Ken. We don't even have one of these out there. They just use this thing because this sanctuary is about half the size of this one. There's about 40 people that come pretty regular, and it's been a blessing. There's been quite a few visitors and stuff. Gabby met a young girl at the park a while back, had some young kids, and she came, and she says she's saved. Her husband says he's saved, but he came to church last Sunday and then came to the pastor's fellowship that he had at his house Thursday night, and they're looking for somebody. See, Colorado's a place where folks go to get away, I guess. They think they're going to go out and live out in the wilderness and whatnot. I don't have any desire to be whatever you want to call it, be out there in the wilderness. Like, it's fun to go out there and check it out, but I don't want to be living in a tent and everything else. That's for sure. But it's a blessing to go, and I'm glad Pastor Ryman had dinner on the grounds today. It's like that every Sunday out there because people travel about an hour sometimes to church, and so the pastor out there, he's got Sunday school at 10 and then regular service at 11. Then about 12:30, 1 o'clock, we'll have, you know, fellowship and eat, and then about 2:30, we'll go back in and have a service, and everybody's out. So a lot of times I'll get out, and you guys will be just starting your evening service because we're 2 hours behind you, and so that's a blessing. I'll be able to sit there and watch that, but a lot of times we'll be out already set up out in the National Forest there and get to go riding four-wheelers, and I didn't listen to Dave Ramsey at all. As soon as I got out there, I bought two four-wheelers, and I said, show me the money, man. I'm going to buy them four-wheelers and go riding. So the pastor out there got me hooked. He said, you got to do it. So I bought a decent four-wheeler that I thought Gabby would be able to ride, and I always say that. It's for Gabby. It's for Gabby so I can do it. I can spend this money. But anyhow, I did buy it, and I was riding it, and I'd put her on the back. She's like, I want her to drive it. I was like, all right. So I let her drive, and she's like, man, I really like this. This is comfortable. The thing's got power steering. It's got four-wheel drive. It's got all kinds of stuff. It wasn't like the most immaculate one you could get, but it is pretty nice. And then I was like, well, darn, what am I going to do? She's out riding around. I'm just standing here watching her ride. So I looked, and I found a broken-down jalopy that I was able to get running, thankfully, but now we each got our own. And she'll put Ezra in a little sling, and I'll put the girls in front of me, and we'll go riding in them trails, man. It's a blast. It's a real blast to go out there and just go out there and look at the mountains and everything. It's really something. And Pike National Forest, I don't know how many thousands of acres it is, but it's a blessing. So if I'm not watching you guys, that's what I'm doing. So remember that, amen? You guys will be in evening service. I'll be out there riding on the four-wheeler. But it's a blessing. It's a blessing, amen. Well, I know we got a lot to do tonight, so let's turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 15. 1 Chronicles chapter number 15. Paul said in the New Testament, he said, let everything be done in decently and in order. And here in 1 Chronicles chapter number 15, you see something worded similar to that. 1 Chronicles 15, David speaking. He said in verse number, let's see here, 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse number 12. And he said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites, sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, God, for your goodness and your grace, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, you just bless your word now, Lord. God, I thank you for how you, Lord, just instruct me, Lord God, and guide me through your word, Lord. And I just pray that, God, this would be a blessing to your folks, and that, Lord, we could get in some instruction, Lord God. And I sure thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Something I do like to talk a lot about in Colorado is, you know, the Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. I like to harp on instruction in righteousness. You know why? Because if I'm left to myself, I'm unrighteous. I mean, all of our right, you know, that's an Old Testament passage, but you know what? All of our righteousness are as filthy rags in the eyes of God. And I'm glad I have God's righteousness. I have God's imputed righteousness because of Jesus Christ. I'm glad that when God looks upon Ryan Darr, he knows what I am according to the flesh, but he sees Jesus Christ. That's biblical. That's Bible. And man, the Bible says, blessed is a man whom the Lord will not impute sin. And like I said this morning, God Almighty imputed our sin to Jesus Christ, and he imputes his righteousness to you if you come to him and you receive him as your Lord and Savior. But I'll tell you what, man, the Lord is a God of order. He is to the T. Now, the Lord, the Bible also says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And we know that around here, amen. There's a lot of liberty. And I thank God for that. And I was telling Pastor, I said, I don't know if Brother Campbell took lessons from you or not. He doesn't know Pastor Ryman from Adam, but he's pretty random as well. You never know what you're going to get. And thank God I came out of this church, you know. Some people can't handle that. You know, some people can come by and visit. They're like, we can't handle this random stuff. And there's something wrong with that. You ought to be ready for anything, man. And so it's a blessing. You never know what you get in the services. But David said, we didn't do it after the due order. We didn't do it after the first time, after the due order. So let's see what he's talking about in 1 Chronicles chapter number 13. Everybody probably knows this story, but it's good. It's good to be reminded of. It's good to be reminded that God is a God of order, and he's got things in line in his word. And if you just pay attention to it and take heed to it and try to apply it, it'll be to your benefit. You know, everybody likes to look for things for their benefit. They really do. I mean, everybody's looking out for their own hide, truthfully. But the Bible does say, too, that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Somebody mentioned that. God blesses you. He gives you all these things, and then he allows you to do something for him, as brother said this morning, and then he still blesses you on top of that and gives you a reward for it. That's one of the wildest things, and that is the grace of God. It's pretty wild. That, you know, you can foul and mess up and foul up and mess up, and God still deals with you. He's long-suffering to you, and he keeps working with you. And then he still allows you to do whatever it is, whatever it is that he allows you to do for him, and he'll still give you a blessing and a reward for it. That's a blessing. But look here in 1 Chronicles chapter 13. You should be familiar with this story. Probably are, but let's read it. Chapter 13 and verse 1. Says, and David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And that's good. David was king, obviously, and he's got to. That's part of his job. Just like the president consulting with so-and-so and such-and-such, you got to delegate authority when it comes to leadership. And the Bible says in verse 2, and David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also the priests and Levites, which are in the cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us, and let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. Now, obviously, you know from reading the Bible, in the days of Saul, things were all messed up. Saul was out for himself. He was out for his own glory time and again. He would say, when Samuel showed up, he's like, bless me now. Bless me now. That was Saul's attitude. And he was the king. He's supposed to be... Jesus Christ said, I know obviously Saul's before Jesus Christ, but he said, you're supposed to serve. If you're the greatest among them, you're supposed to serve. And so here's David here, and he's saying, let us send abroad to our brethren. And he said, if it seemed good to you. Now, right there, obviously David's got to be a little bit concerned with what the folks, what their idea is, and he's maybe getting hitting ideas off of them. But you know what? He was the king. And he should have known what God's order was and what they were about to do, what was about to take place here. And I believe the Ark of God in the Bible, obviously it was a physical thing, but I believe that has a lot to do with God's presence. It has to do with God's presence in the nation, in the congregation, God's presence in your life. That's a good picture of God's presence. And he said, if it seemed good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God. See, that's the thing. Everybody wants to know what everybody else wants to think. And that's where you begin to get in trouble. Obviously, you have authority. You have somebody that you go to. But I'll tell you what, you bounce ideas off this person, ideas off of that person, you wind up getting in trouble. You're liable to get in trouble. You get your direction from God, and God will put men in your life that are over you, that will help lead you and guide you and everything else. And, of course, you got the Holy Spirit. But he said, if it seemed good unto you, and that it be of the, you know, people always talk like that. They always say, the Lord's will, you know, if the Lord let us, they'll say, well, maybe it just wasn't the Lord's will. And they always try to rope God into something. They always try to blame God for something that either didn't work out, or they'll try to rope him into something that's not working out. That's exactly what people do. They rope God into their mess is what they do. And they'll put it on God, and that's exactly what happens. And I believe that's a little bit of what happened here. And he said, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere and that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also the priests, the Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us, and let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it the days of Saul. So he was looking for a good thing. He was looking to have the ark of God in his presence, the presence of God. Verse 4, and all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. There's a little sign in our church that says, never confuse the will of God with the will of the majority. That's a pretty packed statement right there. Never confuse the will of God with the will of the majority. Jesus Christ said, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the eyes of God. Man, don't confuse the things of this world. Don't confuse the things even of the majority. The majority oftentimes got people in trouble, got themselves in trouble. That's exactly how Saul became king. It was the majority. The majority said, we want a king like the rest of the world. Give us a king, for crying out loud, Samuel. You can't do it all. Give us a king. I'll tell you what, man, that's when things started going downhill. The Bible said, but they were still wicked. So you can't blame it all on the people wanting Saul. You can't blame it all on Saul. They had hundreds of years of the judges, and they kept time and again flopping, time and again, God getting back. See, it's just human nature. It's human nature. Verse 5, so David gathered all Israel together from Shihor of Egypt, even to the entering in of Hemath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. And David went up and all Israel to Bala, that is the Kirjath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God, the Lord, which, that dwelleth between the cherubims, whose name is called on it. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart, out of the house of Abinadab. A lot of folks have heard that kind of preaching before, the newfangled way, the new flares. Jess was talking about the church they went to out in Colorado, and they had all the lights were dim, and they had the strobe lights up here, and they had the rock and roll band. That's the new cart. That's what folks rely on these days to get people in. That's what folks rely on emotion. That's what they do. They rely on emotion to try to, they sucker people right in, man, just to sucker them right in. And then you know, next thing you know, they got big mega churches. There's a fella named Andrew Womack. He's been on TV, and I don't know much about him, but he's got this big, huge Bible school, like literally 10 minutes down from our little church called Charis. Charis, you know, obviously he's a charismatic. And supposedly he's raised people from the dead. But I love it, man, when all them people are passing, all the Charis people are coming through on Saturday when we street preach, because the one road, man, it's the main road that leads to the mountains. And, man, I'll tell you what, street preaching out there, these people, man, some of them you could tell. I mean, they've never heard it. They've never seen it. And they're getting plain gospel. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. They're seeing scripture signs. They're going out to go out and have their good time and worship the creature more than the creator. And I'll tell you what, they hear the bam, they get the gospel. And then you get these Charis ladies, you know. Remember that purple-haired lady on TBN? I never really watched, but every once in a while I'd flip through and I'd laugh at her, you know. The big purple-haired lady on TBN. There's ladies like that come through all the time. And they're praise Jesus as you're street preaching out there. And it's something else, man. But these folks, they're always, always trying to look for something new. It's always something new to hook you in. And they'll use truth, too. They'll take the truth and just spin it just a little bit. They'll use truth from different angles, but they got the wrong spirit. And that's the thing. It's the wrong spirit. And the Bible says, and they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab. And people typically don't like change. That's the truth. People don't like change. They really don't. The Bible says, meddle not with them that are given to change. But man, sometimes things have to change. Sometimes things must change. Typically people they resist change. And it's hard to accept change sometimes. But it happens, and it has to happen. The Bible says in verse number 8, and David and all Israel played before God with all their might, with singing and with harps. See, it looked like they were getting something done. Here we got the ark of God on this cart. We're praising and singing and jumping up and down. Man, something's really going on. We got God's presence. Everything's going great. Looks like it. Sure looks like it on the outside. And when they came under the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. That's exactly what's going to happen, too. Brother Mike talked about it this morning. You go out and you think you got the world by the reins, and things start to get shaky on you, and all of a sudden them oxen stumble, somebody's going to get killed. Somebody got killed in this passage. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. All he was trying to do was keep the presence of God up. That's all he was trying to do. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark. And there he died before God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore, the place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? So David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but carried aside to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. Sometimes when somebody fouls up, somebody might get killed through it, but there's a blessing too somewhere for somebody. Obviously, Obed-Edom, man, he got the ark to get planted in his house. Man, would you imagine having that lot fall to you? You had the ark of God, the presence of God able to dwell with you, man, and the Lord blessed his house, the Bible says. So, man, the Bible says that David was displeased with the Lord. I'd be a little bit confused too. Like, Lord, all we were trying to do is bring the presence of God in. But you know what they were doing? They were spinning their wheels, spinning their wheels. Something looked like was happening, but it wasn't happening. And because it wasn't done after the due order, like he said. If you know back in the Old Testament, God said he had the Kohath, the sons of Kohath. He said specifically, he said they are to bear the ark of God upon their shoulders. And they didn't do it after the due order. David, I believe David knew better. And how about all the Levites that were around him? They were supposed to know the Bible. They were supposed to know the scriptures. They were supposed to know that law inside and out. And yet they just went along with it. They just went right along with it. Bam. Somebody had to die because of it. But somebody got a blessing at the same time. Isn't that something wild? That's just the truth of the Bible, folks. It's just something. It's right there written in black and white. Amen. Take your Bible, 1 Chronicles 15. Let's go back to chapter 15. And he said in verse 14, he said, verse 13, he said, we sought him not after the due order. But look in verse number 1. So what's the due order? What is the due order? I believe you can find orders for worshiping God right here in this passage. Amen. That's what it was all about. They were skipping and jumping and praising God, even with that thing on the new cart, and it was still out of order. But here in this passage, there's some things that God laid out in the scripture to teach you how to worship God in the due order. Bible says in verse number 1, it says, and David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. First of all, before you even get into any of the order, any of the instruction that God has, you need preparation. Bible says that David prepared a place for the ark of God. I know this ain't real deep for you. I don't know what you were expecting tonight. I don't know what you were hoping for tonight. It ain't real deep, but it's written right there that David prepared a place for the ark of God. How about you? Have you pitched a tent for the ark of God, for the presence of God in your home? Yeah. Have you pitched a tent for the presence of God in your Sunday school? Have you pitched a tent for the ark of God anywhere in your life? Is there any room for the presence of God in your life? Do you just like it when God pats you on the back and you get a warm, fuzzy feeling when the song's service is good? Is that all the presence of God is for you? Because that's more than that. The presence of God is more than just a fuzzy feeling during a song service. I'm telling you what, the presence of God it will carry you farther down the road than any song will bless your heart. The presence of God will carry you way farther down. Bible says that he prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. He had a place prepared for it. And it wasn't there yet, but he had a place prepared for it. And I would to God some Christians would have a place prepared in their heart for God to come and dwell in. There's too much other junk in there. Too much other junk. The Bible talks, the Lord said, he said, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word and you become unfruitful. And that's exactly what happens. And then there's no room for God's presence, man. The peace of God which passeth all understanding. The Bible says in verse 2, then David said, none. Here he finally got it right. Amen. He finally started reading his Bible for a change. He said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. Verse 3, and David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord unto his place, which he had prepared for it. Again, preparation. Preparation is everything, man. Preparation is crucial. Verse 4, and David assembled the children of Aaron, the Levites, the sons of Kohath, Uriel, the chief, and his brethren, 120. Of the sons of Merari, Asaiah, the chief, and his brethren, 220. Of the sons of Gershom, Joel, the chief, and his brethren, 130. And the sons of Elisaphan, Shemaiah, the chief, and his brethren, 200. Of the sons of Hebron, Eliel, the chief, and his brethren, 80. Of the sons of Uziel, Aminadab, the chief, and his brethren, 112. And David called for Zadok and Abiathar, the priest, and for the Levites, for Uriel, Asaiah, and Joel, Shemaiah, Eliel, and Aminadab, and said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared. And what I have to say to you about that right there in that verse, it says, ye are the chief of the fathers. And I'll tell you what, in a church, he said it earlier, it's not one man. It takes one man to get something going, and God can use one man for sure. God can use one man, but it takes a whole bunch of people to make things happen. And I'll say this, you fathers, he said, the chief of the fathers, he said, sanctify yourselves. I'll guarantee you one thing, this world would not be in half the mess it's in if there were more fathers that were in the Word of God, that applied the Word of God, that weren't all concerned about their own reputation, that weren't concerned about their own gain. This world would be in a much better spot than we're in today if more fathers would obey the Word of God and sanctify themselves. Now you say, well, it's talking about the Levites, but I'm talking to you today, amen. You fathers in here, if you would learn to sanctify yourself and apply what the Word of God says, you'd see things happen in your life. You'd see things change. And the Bible says that he prepared, again, of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. Thank God there was a good leader in Israel at the time. Thank God David wasn't quite like Saul. David had his problems, but the Bible says that Lord sought a man after his own heart, and he found that in David. As often as David might have messed up, at least he got it right. At least he got it right. I don't like messing up. I don't like displeasing God, but I do. I have. And I don't like that, and I don't want to live like that. I don't want to live like that. I want to please God. Amen. I want God to be pleased with my life. And I'm telling you what, man, you got to have a place prepared, and you need to sanctify yourself. You need to sanctify yourself. You say, this is too simple for me. Yeah, but you know what? It's just as time goes by, the things are going to keep wearing on you and wearing on you and wearing on you. And I'll tell you what, you'll just completely disregard everything you've ever learned out of this Bible if you're not careful. Yep. It's good to be reminded. Take your Bible, hold your place there, but look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Set apart. Sanctification is important. You know, I was sitting there eating with Rick today. And I know what I said earlier about having grace with people, but man, he came to visit. I figured we could have enough grace to sit there with him. He's a lost man. Pray for him. Eric works for him now, so he can get to him some more. But man, pray for him because he's close to getting saved, but he just was too scared to bow his head right there. Maybe he will get saved. Maybe he is. He just doesn't know. But he was afraid. He was just, you could tell, his eyes were shifting around. He was kind of nervous, amen. That's good. Let the Lord deal with them. I'm not God. I can't save anybody. Let God deal with them. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Bible says in verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? God, man, he hates idols. He despises it. He said that many times, that, man, he can't stand those idols. And your body is a temple of God. So he said, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And I like verse 1 of chapter 7. He said, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthy. God left something in your court to take care of. God does the work, but you also have a part to it. God expects you to make some decisions. Like I said earlier, you got a free will. And it boggles my mind how my will can overpower God's will. And your will can overpower God's will if you let it. But he said, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Man, be ye perfect, Paul said. Be ye holy as I am holy, the Lord said. Peter, that's written in 1 Peter. Be ye holy as I am holy. So these fellows, David's telling him, he said, to the chiefs, you men in here, I'm the chief of my house. I'm the king of my house. Sanctify yourself. Amen. You want your kids to grow up like you? You want your kids to be a bum like you? I don't want my kids to be like how I was when I was growing up. No way. No, sir. No way. I want them to be better than me. By the time they're my age, I want them to excel, man. I want them to go farther than me. I'm not talking about excelling in this world. Excelling for God and their devotion to God and their fellowship with God. Amen. That's what I want my kids. They need to go farther than I could ever take it. That's what I want for them. And there's only one way to do it, is by leading by example. Amen. And hopefully they'll carry it farther than I ever could. Hopefully we won't be here, amen. I hope I never see my kid get to be a teenager, amen. Lord, spare me from those years, amen. Verse 13, he says, for because he did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. Now, here you go. Here's the order. A lot has to do with the preparation, man. It's all in the preparation. But I believe in these next couple of verses, we can get a lot out of these things here to help us understand what it takes to have the presence of God in our lives. And he already dwells in you if you're saved. But you can quench the Holy Spirit of God. Right. And I'll tell you this, the most miserable creature on this planet is somebody who's born again, who will not acknowledge God, who will not read the Word of God, who will not attempt at all to have fellowship with God, whether he knows better or not. You want to live a miserable, rotten life, become born again and just don't read your Bible, don't try to serve God, don't try to do nothing, have anything to do with God. Your life will be a living hell. Right. It will. I promise you that. And I don't want you to do that, obviously. I'm saying that stuff in jest, so to speak. But I'm telling you, don't do that. If you're saved in here, you read your Bible, you try to have a relationship with God Almighty, man, you don't know what you're missing out on if you don't avail yourself to it. Bible says in verse 14, so the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves. There it is again. To bring up the ark of the Lord our God, the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites, look, there he goes, bear the ark of God upon their shoulders. They're finally doing something right. They're finally following what was written down. They're finally following it. Yeah. I've told you time and again, I got saved as an 11-year-old kid, but it wasn't until I came here and started actually reading this and attempting somewhat. I was nowhere near nothing. I'm still not, but at least I try. And I'll tell you what, it wasn't until I had the scriptures right here that you should try to follow a little bit that God's presence began to show up in my life, that I began to notice it, that I really began to notice it. I knew that I was grieving God when I was outside of the Word of God. But when I had the Bible and started reading it, man, things started, man, it was a blessing. It turned out to be a blessing. The Bible says, and the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded, according to what? The Word of the Lord. You know what else is interesting about that? You know what's a blessing about that right there? Is not only did they finally do it right according to the Bible, but they put some weight on themselves. They put some burden on themselves. And I'm not talking about an unbearable burden that you bring on yourself, but you begin to yoke up with Jesus Christ. That's when you want to get the presence of God in your life, you yoke up with Jesus Christ. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come learn of me, for I am meek of lowly. He said, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke. You know what the yoke is for? It's for plowing. You might not be able to see. I'm not going to see thousands of people saved. I'm not going to see it, but I'll plow. I've always said, man, I'm not good for much, but I can move something heavy around if I have to, amen. I can push this from one end to the other if you want me to. That's about all I'm good for, amen. And that's all right. That's all right. At least, man, do something that's worthwhile that might help somebody. It might be a benefit to somebody else. And something that might help God. And God doesn't need your help. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need you. I get that. But like I said, he chooses to use man. He chooses to use his people for his work. He said, and the children of Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders. They took the burden on themselves. Finally, isn't it so much easier just to put it on a cart? Doesn't that make sense? Work smarter, not harder, they say, right? Doesn't it make sense to have all the equipment, have all the stuff? It makes sense. Old Phil's here. I told him time and again, man, we need the Bosch Bulldog to drill through block and stuff. He's like, you got a hammer, you can beat through that block. I was like, man, we need a nice pretty hole. I'll beat the whole wall down if you let me. And man, I'll tell you what, it's work smarter, not harder, but I'll tell you what, put the burden on. You want God's presence in your life? Start putting some heat on, put some skin in the game, amen. Verse 16, the Bible says, and David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be singers with instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. This church is known for songs, man, and singing loud. This church is known for that. It's known for that. And I'll tell you what, you want the presence of God. I know I mentioned some things about getting stirred up during a song service, but you can be in your own home. You can be in your own vehicle. And I'll tell you what, you can have, man, that's good fellowship. That's good. That's good. Singing out to God. And I'll tell you what, you want God's presence in your life? Look what it says at the end of verse 16. By lifting up the voice with joy. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And man, just rejoicing in your salvation and lifting up your voice to Him and thanking Him. I believe the number one will of God in your life is to be thankful. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I'll tell you what, be thankful. Be thankful for your salvation. Be thankful for the things you have. And lift up the voice with joy. So man, taking a burden on, lifting up your voice with joy. You think about Paul and Silas. They were locked up in Philippi. What a bummer. They were locked up. They were beaten and everything else and locked up. And what were they doing in the middle of the night? They were singing to God. What a burden. They were carrying a burden. They were just trying to preach the gospel. They get locked up for it. All they can do is sing and thank God and give God the glory for it. Man, would to God more folks had that kind of desire. They had that attitude. No matter what they're going through, they're lifting up the voice with joy. Verse 17, so the Levites appointed Heman the son of Joel and his brethren, Asaph the son of Berechiah and the sons of Merari, their brethren, Ethan the son of Cushiah, and with them their brethren of the second degree, Zechariah, Ben, and Jaziel, and Shemiramoth, and Jehiel, and Uni, and all these names here that I can't hardly pronounce. And Obed-Edom, look at that, he comes back up. I'll tell you what, he had the presence of God. He knew. He said, I want to be in on that. I want to see that come into Israel. I want to see that come into Jerusalem. Amen. He said, I had it in my house. I want you to have it. Yeah. And there he was, Obed-Edom. And Jael and the porters. So the singers, Heman, Asaph, and Ethan were appointed to sound with cymbals of brass, and Zechariah and Aziel and Shemiramoth and Jael and Uni and Eliab and Messiah and Benaiah with psalteries on Alamoth. And Mattathiah and Eliphala and Micnea and Obed-Edom again and Jael and Azaziah with harps on Shemith to excel. Now notice this, in Chenaniah, chief of the Levites, was for song. He instructed about the song because he was skillful. Now, you and I might not be skillful. I know I'm not, amen. You might not be skillful in music, but you know what my kids love? They love it when we stand there and sing in the house. I mean, at the house. Yeah, it's good to sing here in the church, but man, when we're singing at the house, singing the hymns and singing about the Lord, they love Honey in the Rock. We're singing Honey in the Rock, and I got this version of Honey in the Rock that we listen to, and they love it. They love that song, Honey, There's Honey in the Rock, My Brother. And that's good stuff, man. I'm glad my kids are learning that instead of the junk that I learned. You know, this is stupid, but I was 10, 12 years old listening to vinyl records by the time they were phased out. But you know, the vinyl records I was listening to was not good, amen. It was stupid. It was a bunch of filth and ungodliness. And here my kids are growing up singing hymns. What a blessing. You know why? Because God's given me that, instructed me, and I got to instruct them. It says, Chenaniah, the chief of the Levites, was for song. He instructed about the song because he was skillful. You know, I don't care what you say. God likes singing. And there's going to be a lot of singing in heaven, so you better get used to it. You better get used to it. Because there's going to be a lot of it. We're going to be singing and glorifying Jesus Christ one day. And so you better get used to it down here. Some of you folks, man, the way you sing, it's pitiful. It's pitiful, man. And I don't know how you can ever expect to have the presence of God in your life. And I understand that it's not about who sings the loudest and everything else. But I'll tell you what, if you sing loud, more than likely that means you got something to you. That means you got something that you've had a touch of God in your life. I'll never forget I had contact with God. I heard a story about Buddy Cargo one time. He picked up a dude on the side of the road, and he wanted to witness to the guy. You might know this better than I do, but he just turned over and said, I know God. I never met Buddy Cargo, but man, I could have just imagined you turn and tell somebody, I know God. Might freak him out, you know? Picking up a stranger like that, and that's all you say. You turn over to him and say that, man. What a thing, man. But man, I'll tell you what, singing will definitely has a lot to do with the presence of God in your life. If you had the presence of God in your life, how could you not sing? How could you not sing out? How could you not? Man, he instructed about the song because he was skillful. Look at verse 23. And Berechiah and Elkanah were doorkeepers for the ark. They were watching. They were watching out. That's my favorite verse right there. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Don't, I think that's how good. Amen. Psalm 84. I love that psalm. But I'll tell you what, they were doorkeepers for the ark of God. They opened it up and let it, yep, bring it on in. That's exactly what they were all about. Open them doors up and let it in. Man, avail yourself to it. Let it in. Let God in. Let God move in and let him come on in and let him dwell with you. That's, man, that's where it's at. Let him come on in, because I'll tell you what, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in that filth out there. Way better. Way better. I mean, just having God around, man, is a blessing. Berechiah and Elkanah were doorkeepers for the ark. Verse 24, and Shebaniah and Jehoshaphat and Nethaneel and Amasai and Zechariah and Benaiah and Eleazar the priest did blow with the trumpets before the ark of God. And here's old Obadiah again. He keeps popping up because he knows. He knows what it's like. And Jehiah, they were doorkeepers for the ark. Could you imagine Obadiah? Could you imagine him at the gate of Jerusalem saying, yeah, come on, bring it in here. Bring it right in. You have no idea what was going on down at my house when we had the ark of God. You have no idea what was going on, man. And it was good. And, man, he'd swing them gates wide open. I'll tell you what, folks, having the presence of God in your life is a good thing. Don't chase him out. Don't keep him out. The Bible says in Revelation chapter number 3 that he's standing at the door and knocking, wanting to come in. He wants to fellowship. He wants to be in your presence. He wants you in his presence. And again, I understand if you're saved, you got the Holy Spirit dwelling inside you. He sealed you to the day of redemption. But I'll tell you what, when the fellowship is there, man, oh my goodness, man, keep in touch with Jesus, for he will keep you sweet. Amen. And Obadiah and Jehiah were doorkeepers for the ark. Verse 25, so David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obadiah with joy. With joy, amen. It's not a burden when the Lord is around. He said, my burden is light, and my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Any kind of burden that the Lord might put on you, man, I'll tell you what, if he's in it with you, it's light. It's light. And it came to pass when God helped the Levites that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord that they offered 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And David was clothed with a robe of fine linen. And all the Levites bear the ark and the singers. And Chenaniah, the master of the song, with the singers. David also had upon him an ephod of fine linen. I don't know if you remember, but in Revelation it says that the righteousness is the fine linen of the saints. I'll tell you what, doing right, trying to please God, going out of your way to try to please God, that's going to help you have the presence of God in your life. I'll tell you what, I know that we all fall short. We all fall short of the glory of God, but you try to do right, you try to do what's pleasing to God, I'll tell you what, that'll help you. That'll help you. Having fine linen, it says that David was clothed in a robe of fine linen. And all the Levites that bear the ark, everybody decided to get right. They saw what happened to Uzzah. They saw what happened when they tried it their own way the first time. And they said, we're not doing it that way. We want to do it God's way. And bam, man, they start coming in here, doing the thing right, and they start seeing God do some things. What a blessing. And they offered 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And he goes on and it says, there they were. They were all dressed in fine linen. Verse 28, thus all Israel, all everybody. Imagine what would happen if everyone in this room was of one mind, one accord, one. What would happen here? It would be wild. I would think, man, we're in the twilight zone or something, amen? If all the brethren would dwell in unity, it would be something else. But he said, all Israel, but if everyone in here was concerned about bringing the presence of God with them, and having God have the preeminence, having the Lord Jesus Christ have the preeminence, if that was the goal for every person in this room, I'll tell you what, man, this place would be overflowing. I'm not talking about with just people, but people would be running around the church, man. Forget running the aisles. You'd be busting out the doors and running around the church. It'd be something else. Verse 28, thus all Israel brought the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting. Now, I know this church doesn't have too much problem with shouting, but you ever wonder Pastor Ryan is shouting and clapping and all that? You know why? Because he's known the presence of God. He's known the presence of God. He's got the presence of God. And I'll tell you what, you shout People say, oh, that's all in the flesh. I like what they say. That's the best the flesh could ever do. That's the best the flesh could ever praise and glorify Jesus Christ and shout amen and praise glory to God. Who cares what people think? I told that brother, I showed you, when the song service was going on, he never heard that stuff. He would hold that hymn and he'd be doing this. And I know it looks stupid, but man, he loves God. He loves having the blessing of God and the presence of God. And he, man, I told him, I said, don't worry about anybody. Who cares what they say? I mean, you're not juking and jiving and, you know, doing all kinds of craziness. I said, who cares, man? Just, man, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, we're not a bunch of charismatics. We don't do all that stuff. But I told him, I said, don't worry about it. He came to me. He was like, you think people, I said, who cares what people think? I don't care. I said, you do your thing. It helps me when I'm leading songs. I get to look down at him. And he's shaking around. It's funny. I put a big smile on my face. Everybody's like, why is he so happy? It's because of that guy. He's over there moving around like that. But he said, thus all Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord was shouting. Man, all through the Bible. Man, you know what shouting is? You know what shouting is? It's victory. It's victory. You think about Joshua and Jericho. We talked about Joshua earlier. But you know what happened in Jericho? It says when they shouted. After they went around that city, it's when they shouted that those walls came down. That, man, I'll tell you what, anytime there's shouting involved, any kind of military, any kind of football, I mean, they're shouting. Like, come on, let's go, let's do it. If you're defeated, there's not a whole lot of shouting going on. But if they are defeated, if they need to pep themselves up, they start hollering at each other. Yep. Let's do this. Yep. Shout. I'll tell you what, shouting. You want the presence of God. Get a little bit of shout. Get a little bit of shouting in it. People, man, I'll tell you what. Can't stand a bump on a law. It really can't. Can't stand a bump on a law. But he said, the covenant of the Lord was shouting with sound of the cornet and with trumpet, with cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. The Bible says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. I know that people can carry things too far. I get that. But who cares? Who cares, man? Shout it out. And get, I mean, that's a picture of victory. I like in 2 Chronicles, Bible says, hold your place here and look at 2 Chronicles chapter 13. Let's look at it. Here's King Asa, king of Judah, and he's surrounded before and behind. Look at here in 2 Chronicles chapter 13. I like this. Shouting has to do with victory. If you got victory, you'll shout. Amen. Look in verse 13, 2 Chronicles 13, 13. But Jeroboam calls an ambushment to come about behind them. So they were before Judah, and the ambushment was behind them. Sometimes it's just, man, you got everything coming down on it, feels like. It was before and behind them. And when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind. And they cried unto the Lord, and the priests sounded with trumpets. Look at this. Then the men of Judah gave a shout. And as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. And the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hand. Look at the end of verse 18. It says, because they relied upon the Lord God of their fathers. I'll tell you what, all through the Bible, you say, well, that's the Old Testament and this and that. Blow it out your nose. If you shout, you want God, you want God's presence, you shout the victory. Amen. Shout the house down, man. I'll tell you what, it's a blessing to be able to say, thank you, Lord. Man, when I would come home from Denver, that long, stinking, treacherous drive, coming through 15% grades and everything else, not knowing where in the world I'm at, and I finally get home, I get out and say, thank you, God. Thank you. Amen. Man, I made it home safe to my family. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Man, what a blessing. I'm not talking about, you know, I won the lottery, whatever. The little things, man, there's little things. What seemed to be little, God got me through another day. God got me home safe. Man, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I'm home to my wife and kids. Thank you. Shout it. Shout it out. With the sound of the cornet, with the trumpets, with the cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. Verse 29, and it came to pass as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the city that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looking out a window, saw King David dancing and playing, and she despised him in her heart. Now, I don't know what David was doing. I believe he was doing what Greg does. He was probably just jumping and leaping and all that. But I'll tell you what, man, I don't dance. That's for darn sure, amen. But I'll tell you what, that's a sad thing. That lady there, she could have been in there with him, worshiping and thanking God for the ark coming in. She should have been down there thanking God too. But you know, that's what always happens. There's always going to be somebody. There's always somebody or multiple people. You see somebody that's got the joy of the Lord. You see somebody that's shouting. You see somebody that sings. There's always going to be somebody that despises that. And you have no idea what you're missing. You have no idea what you're missing. And if you just get down in there with them, your mind would change. Amen. Your mind would change real quick. I'll tell you what. She despised him in her heart. What a thing. She wasn't even worshiping at all. She wasn't glad. All she saw was David out there. Oh, there's David again. There's David again. Just a nagging. Just a woman, amen. I'll tell you what, there's a bunch of men that act like that too. You bunch of little nagging, little sissy, you know, little nags. Just get in there and stink and worship God. Be thankful for what you got. Be thankful for what you got. And she despised him in her heart. Look in the next chapter, verse 1. We're almost through. It wasn't short tonight. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for. There it is, man. Here it is. The presence of God, man. It's here. And they offered burnt sacrifices. There's the offering. And peace offerings before God. I can't say, man, I don't feel like I've ever really sacrificed. What could I sacrifice? I mean, I realize in the Old Testament that they had literal sacrifices. But people talk about, oh, I have this, I have to give all this up, I have to give that up. What in the world are you talking about? I feel like I really have never really had to really sacrifice everything. There's no order that God has made too tall that it was a real sacrifice. He's worth everything that I've ever had, that I could ever gain. He's worth it all. He's worth it all. Now, there might come down the line that I might not be able to handle. I don't know. People say God never gives you things you can't handle. I don't know about that. He'll test you out. He'll put things on you and test you. And I'm thankful that, man, I really can't say that I've had something that was so overbearing that I didn't know what to do, that I was beside myself. Whatever God wants, whatever he wants. But man, these folks offered up a sacrifice, and I know there's folks that have sacrificed much. There are folks that have sacrificed much, and you could talk about Christians in distant lands and missionaries of old. You can talk, but there are people in this day and age that have sacrificed for God. You could talk about that, and I'll tell you what, that'll help bring the presence of God in your life. The Lord said, whatever a man gives, relinquishes in this life, man, he's going to be blessed tenfold. I know it's not verbatim. Basically, that's what he said. Yeah. Whatever you got in this life, whatever you forfeit in this life for God's glory, it's nothing compared to what he's going to give you back. It's nothing compared to that. It's nothing compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us, the Bible says in the book of Romans. Nothing. And David made an end of the offering of the burnt offerings and the peace offerings. He blessed the people in the name of the Lord. He blessed the people. Isn't that what most folks are after? Most folks want God's blessing. Everybody wants the blessing of God. We want God to take care of this. We want our bills paid. We want all our stuff nice and laid out for us so we don't have a care in the world. That's what we want. That's the blessing you look for. That's the blessing you desire, to have everything taken care of in this life. But I'll tell you what's more important than not having a bill, not having any kind of burden as far as a debt that you owe or whatever the case may be, is having the presence of God and having God's blessings in your life. The Bible says that it's better with a little morsel. A dinner of herbs is better than a stalled ox and hatred therewith, the Bible says. And there's another proverb that says, feed me with food that's convenient for me. He said, don't let me be too rich and deny my God. He said, feed me with food that's convenient for me. Don't let me be too poor where I rob and steal and blaspheme the name of my God. I don't want to be that poor either, amen. I'm not saying that. But you know what? You know what some of the blessings of God is? Your health. Your kids' health. Things you take for granted. Just because you don't have your new car, just because your car is broken down, you take for granted that you're healthy and your kids are healthy and you've had a meal today. You've had three meals today. You had a lot to eat today, amen. You don't take that. You take it for granted is what you do. Look what it says. Look what it says in verse 3. Look at what David blessed Israel with. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread, a good piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine. Everybody got a loaf of bread, a hunk of meat, and some juice, amen. So they didn't have to drink old, warm desert water. That was the blessing. Woohoo! Ah, yeah! You know, publisher clearinghouse coming with the $1 million check. Everybody's jumping up and down for the piece of bread and the hunk of meat and the wine. That's God's blessing, folks, in this life. He said, having food and raiment, be content. Be content. That's God's blessing. He's taking care of your sorry hide. That's a blessing right there, amen. He's getting you through this life. He's letting you do something for him. I'll tell you what, man. You want the presence of God in your life? Be content. Be content with what such things as you have. That's where, man, the presence of God will come in your life. What a blessing, man. Just having your health, having your kids healthy. You're in church. You get to sing the songs of Zion. You get to open up the Word of God. You get to fellowship with God on your own. There's nothing better than that. You got plenty of food to eat. There ain't nothing better than that. Hey, man, this life is going by real fast. And I remember hearing that as a kid. You know, your life goes by quicker as you get older. And I know I'm not old yet, but, man, I'll tell you what, it goes by fast. And I'll tell you the most important thing that I can see is having God's presence and doing what God expects. But having God's presence, man, sure helps. It helps getting through. It sure helps getting through knowing God's there and having the presence of God in your life. I'll tell you what, be thankful for what you have. Shout it out, man. Sing. Teach your kids to sing. Teach your kids to worship God. You'll